Today begins the Christmas season, so you can choose the Christmas carols or hymns related to Christmas. Hymns. Any hymns? Yes, Alida. 89. 1 and 4. We're going to be like a crystal cathedral. Joyful.
Joyful, joyful, O thee God of glory, Lord of love, hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of cloud away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. Mortal, join the mighty chorus which the morning stars began. Divine is reigning over us, binding all within his pen. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music lead us onward in the triumph song of life.
Yes, Tim. 77. That's two lucky numbers. 77. How great thou art. Perfect. 1 and 3. 1 and 3.
Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thou power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great.
3.
And when I think that God his Son must bearing, sent him, scarce can take in, that on the cross my burden he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, O God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Yes, Judith. 156. 156. Before we go on, I just want to share quickly. You know, the first time I heard How Great Thou Art was at the Billy Graham's crusade in Seoul, Korea. and Beverly Shea sang that song. That was the first time I heard the song. How great thou art. Yeah. 156. 1 and 3. 1 and 2.
Tell the story of unthinking of Jesus. Of I'll tell the story because I know it is true. He satisfies my longing as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story, will be my theme in glory, to tell the old story, Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all the golden dreams. I love to tell the story it did such for me, and that is just the reason I love to be my theme in glory, the old story of Jesus and his love.
I think it has to do with my head.
Okay, maybe. This is also a little high, so maybe you're just...
Try that. My head blocks the signal wall. My hair blocks the signal. I got unusually white hair. Though I'm growing, I'm adding more black hairs now. If you'd like to learn the secret, you know how I add my black hair? My wife pay attention to that. Because she doesn't like white hair. I shampoo with coffee to turn it black. It works. No, I mean I'm not kidding. I learned it from a YouTuber. You mix coffee with shampoo. It helps grow hair. So maybe Tim. I was thinning. I have had a lot of more hairs by doing that. Isn't that interesting? All right, back to the song. What's the next one? I think we can sing one more. 714. One and four, 714.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known. No, why unworthy Christ in love redeem me for his own. But I know whom I have believed and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know my Lord may come and night, one noon, day, fair. Lord, if I walk the valley with him, or meet him in the air, but I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
Thanks for helping. Hey, good morning. How's everybody doing? Yeah, it's good to be here, isn't it? Amen. Well, that doesn't mean the announcements are over with just because I said amen. But yeah, so please sign in on a red pad and leave your slip in a red folder and don't tear them apart. I think that's supposed to be in there too, right? All right. So please give money or state or scrip cards to the Good Samaritan Fund. This money is used to help those less fortunate with food. All right. You do that.
During a special month, December, May, you have all the joy your heart can hold, all the smiles a day can bring, and all the blessings a life can unfold. May God bestow you with his bounties and blessings. Happy birthday.
All right. Happy birthday, Cameron, Kelsey, Carol Jones, Ron, Chris, Sheila, Martin, Paul and Sally. Happy birthday. All right, good job. The newsletter's in the narthex. Please contact the office if you have email and can read it online, or if you get one in the mail and can pick it up at the church instead. Free Saturday movies. White Bird, struggling to fit in as new school after being expelled for his treatment of Augie Pullman. Julian is visited by his grandmother and is transformed by the story of her attempts to escape Nazi-occupied France during World War II. The December's Pastor's Luncheon will take place December 11th at noon at Legend 8 in China, in Callum Mesa. The special price is $10. Please let us know if you're coming. You may sign up on a sign-up sheet or call the church office. Caroling for shut-ins and anyone needing Christmas cheer will take place on December the 15th. We will depart from the fellowship hall at 2 o'clock. And please contact the office if you would like us to come and sing to you or to a shut-in that would really appreciate the visit. We are the Cereal Church. Donate a few boxes of cereal, canned goods, or other items that can help. We will bring it at the end of the month so that the ICSC can distribute it to families in need. Poinsettias order form. Does anybody want a poinsettia for Christmas? Well, if you would like to purchase one for the sanctuary for Christmas and put the information in the bulletin, please fill out the form and put it in the offering plate or send it to the church office. Please make sure you label your donation poinsettias. The cost of each poinsettia this year will be $12. Thank you. If you can, we need a lot of help to decorate the church for Christmas. Many hands make the work light. That all discussion class will resume next week. Okay, we will now light the first Advent candle. This is where we sit down.
Good morning. praise God.
Not that.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. The Word becomes flesh. In the beginning was the Word. That's right. It's like cut off. I used to sing a lot, but it was at the karaoke, you know. But I should be singing for the Lord, right? Amen?
You're doing good.
Okay.
Hold on, let me see if I can find it here. I mean, if you can read it.
We can read this, but it's cut off.
Yeah. The Word was without hope under the power appointed time. God sent a Savior to deliver the world from bondage and death. On this first day of... Okay, thank you. On the first... Okay, I'm sorry, let me try one more time. The first day of Advent began today. The world was without hope under the power of sin and death. At the appointed time, God sent Jesus, the Savior and Deliverer, to deliver the world from bondage of darkness. The final candle we light signifies that Christ Jesus is the hope of the world. Thank you, Lord.
Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1, 2, and 6. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, our lives often appear bleak, but we always find hope in your presence. Thank you for driving the darkness out of our lives. However strong darkness may seem, it cannot stand your light. May we be the beacon of your light so that people may find hope in you. Amen.
Amen. Great job. Okay, yes.
Come, O Emmanuel, be present with us in our world.
Come, O Son of God, save us from sin and its penalty.
Come, O Son of the Most High, show us the glory of your kingdom.
Come, O incarnate Word, lead us into the light
of truth and freedom.
Please sing Hail to the Lord's Anointed.
Hail to the Lord's anointed, great, David's great, our Son. Hell in the time appointed, his reign on earth begun. He comes to break oppression, to set the captives free, to take away transgressions and rule iniquity. He comes with succor speedy to those who suffer wrong, to help the poor and needy, and be the weak be strong, to give them songs for crying, for darkness turned to light, whose souls condemned and dying are precious in his sight. He shall come down like showers upon the fruitful earth, love, joy, and hope like flowers spring in his path to birth. Before him on the mountain shall peace the herald go, and righteousness in fountains from hill to valley flow.
Please pass a peace. Joys and concerns will follow. All right, and go shake hands with everybody.
Katie, doing a great job. Peace be with you. Thank you. Thanks so much. Alrighty.
He'll do it.
Let us welcome all those who have come to be with us via Zoom and worship together with us. Good morning, Helen. So good to see you always. And June and Joyce are with us. Joyce, I just want to let you know that we receive you as the affiliate member last Sunday. You weren't there, but we welcome you, Joyce. Let's give her for her the round of applause.
Yes.
Welcome, welcome. And Bill is with us, and David, George, and Alicia are with us.
Good morning. I want to start out our prayer request with one more announcement. Our parents' night out is going to be early. It's going to be December 13th this year. And instead of having the kids bring a present for each other, I'm having them bring an unwrapped toy for the toy drive. So if any in the congregation would like to help, for the next two Sundays, we'll be collecting unwrapped toys for the firefighters' toy drive for local children that need some extra Christmas love. You can put them back in the narthex on the side that doesn't have all the cereal. So if you want to help the kids out, bring an unwrapped toy for them, and then we can bring whatever we get down there. They're going to meet the 13th, so the last day to bring them will be the 15th, and then I'll take the toys in on the 15th. But that will mean that the kids can get a picture with all the toys that we've collected, even if there's going to be more. So thank you for that. It's any age range, up to teenagers. So it's babies to teenagers. So anybody that they can sign up based on the need. And there's a website where they're doing that to collect the toys to figure out who gets them distributed. So any age at all is fine, anything. I think they said something about particularly they need things for teenagers. So, but I'm sure they can use anything. Sure. You can bring them into the office and leave them there, and I'll move them back to that pew, or you can just bring them Sunday. But for the next two Sundays, so the last Sunday to bring a toy here is the 15th. I'm sure you can probably drop one off at other places if you missed that.
Thank you. Morning. To God be the glory. I wanted to lift up Gina in prayer, also her job. They got a new, I think she's a CEO of the company, but they also have a board that overlooks the company and the CEO. But she, when they were working together, to make a long story short, Gina actually kind of like was voting for her to become one of the new CFO or CEO. But once she became a CEO, her demeanors and her true colors came out, to be clear. So I've been praying a lot. In the past, and just asking God and rebuking the evil spirits that's in her job site. So if we could please lift her up in prayer at work, that she'll be covered from the work of the enemies. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Good morning. Last week I asked for prayers for my friend Rita in Texas, who was traveling to Missouri and had lost the processor for her cochlear implant. She returned home Wednesday morning, I guess, back in Houston, throws luggage on the bed, prepares to unpack, and the processor's laying on the bed. It had been there the whole time. So I thank you for all your prayers and concern for her, and I'm just really glad she has it, because this is basically her sound to the world now. And we're laughing now, but it was not funny then.
I found out yesterday that my little nephew, I think he might be 7, I'm not sure, in New Hampshire. It would have been my brother's grandson. Anyway, he had breathing issues yesterday, so he went in the hospital, and they put him on oxygen, and he has, they think this morning, pneumonia. So if you could pray for Samuel and his family to make sure he comes out of this. He's strong, and he's a spitting image of my brother when he was that age. So, you know, we always think of Samuel. Thank you.
Hi, it's April Klein here, and if Pastor could turn off Bill's microphone so he can't hear this. We need prayers for Bill. He and I alternate on our needs. Now that I can hold this microphone with my left hand again and have full use of it, Bill needs a hip replacement. And he can barely walk. He couldn't get from the parking lot if I dropped him off to this door. He's really hurting. So, and he couldn't even get an appointment until December 16th. So it's been hurting for over a month now, and it just came on. So we get to go through that now. But praise God that my hand works, and we're ready to do more now. Amen.
Praise God that you can take turns. Now is your time to take care of Bill. We'll pray, definitely, yes.
Hi, my name is Pat Shores. I frequently talk about my niece and her little twin baby girls. And this past week, Allison and I got down to see them twice, which was wonderful. And we're supposed to go today, and I knew nothing about decorating the church, but I'll have to call Allison and tell her I'm going to be a little bit later than she expects me to be there right after church to her house, because we're going to go down and see the babies again. But I'll let her know I'm going to run a little bit late. But anyway, seeing the babies is the highlight of my week, and I think it is for Allison too. And so grateful that they're healthy.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
And I'm also grateful for a really awesome Thanksgiving celebration with a whole pile of friends and family. We had a great time and ate too much food, and I'm just really blessed that we get to live in this country where we have so many options for celebrating and freedom and food and joy.
So my, sorry, my screen is not.
John Kier, he's the one that's doing the work on our house. He's a Palestinian Christian. John Kier, a Palestinian Christian, doing the work on our house. He wants us to pray for his family over there in Palestine, because they're caught in the middle between the Jews and the Arabs, and pray for all the Christians there. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right, let us continue our worship by praying the unison prayer, prayer of Advent, printed on the program. Merciful God, you send your messengers and the prophets to preach repentance and prepare the way for our salvation. Give us grace to heed their warnings and forsake our sins, that we may celebrate aright the commemoration of the Nativity, and may await with joy the coming in glory of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Let us continue our prayers in silence. Let us approach God's throne with confidence, because God knows our need even before we ask, and He never fails to answer our prayers. He knows what is good for us, and He gives good things to us. Let us continue. Dear Lord Jesus, we have this assurance when we come to you, O Lord, that when we pray, you answer our prayer. And that is the way that you prove to us that you are the living God. You answer our prayers many times before, and you are continuing to listening to our prayers and leading us to the places where we see the answers of our prayers unto you. So, Lord, we come with the hope of today and for tomorrow. As we celebrate the season of your coming into this world again, Lord Jesus, show us once more. Show us your presence. Show us that you are the God of Emmanuel. You may be invisible to our naked eyes, but you are with us always. You walk with us side by side. You hold our hands and guide us into the path of your peace. You watch above us. You know where we are and where we are going. And you hold our hand and lead us to the place that you want us to go. You hold us, embrace us from our back, and comfort us and give us this assurance that you are our sustainer, that you are our provider. With you, O Lord, we can face any challenges in life. With you, O Lord, we can face the future without fear. So, Lord, come unto us through your Holy Spirit. Touch our heart, touch our lives, that we may receive this renewed faith, unshakable, immovable faith in you. Lord, you know all our prayers. You know our need. So at this time, O Lord, we lift up our hearts and our prayers unto you, O Lord, including our prayers for our loved ones. You know where they are. You know what they need. Give them, O Lord, that powerful touch through your Holy Spirit so that they too may experience your presence in their lives. Many of us are in need of your healing touch, healing of our brokenness, healing of our body. So touch us and heal us today, knowing that we are in your life. You are our sovereign God. We submit to you once more, praying that your will is fulfilled in our lives, in this church, in this community, in the life of our loved ones, in this nation and in the world today. So we now pray together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I want to walk as a child of the light.
I want to walk as a child of the light. I want to follow Jesus. God set the stars to give light to the world. The star of my life is Jesus. In him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day are both alike. The Lamb is the light of the city of God.
Shine in my heart, Lord Jesus. I want to see the brightness of God. I want to look at Jesus. Clear sun of righteousness, shine on my path and show me the way to the Father. In him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day are both alike. The Lamb is the light of the city of God. Shine in my heart, Lord Jesus. I'm looking for the coming of Christ. I want to be with Jesus. When we have run with patience the race, we shall know the joy of Jesus. In him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day are both alike. The Lamb is the light of the city of God. Shine in my heart, Lord Jesus.
In the beginning was the world, and the world was with God, and the world was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify the light to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what he was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who receive him, who believe in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born of not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
All right. May God bless the reading of his Word and those who hear it.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Katie. You did a great job. Good morning, everyone. So good to see you in this beautiful sanctuary. And I pray that each of us will have special visit from the Holy Spirit this morning, speaking to you and speaking to me in our heart, that we may all experience God's presence as we hear his word. When President Teddy Roosevelt was touring Oklahoma, he drove by to see his old friend, Quanah Parker, chief of the Comanches, who lived 12 miles from Fort Sill. With pride, Parker showed Teddy the house he lived in, the white man's clothes he wore, and his children who attended the white man's school. "See here, Chief," Teddy said, "why don't you set your people
a still better example of obeying the laws of the land and the customs of the whites. Though a white man has only one wife, and here you are living with five wives. Why don't you give up four of them and remain faithful to the fifth? Then you'd really be living as the white man lives. Parker considered the proposition. You are my great white father, he said, and I will do as you wish on one condition. You pick out the one I am to live with, and then you go tell the other four. It is easier said than done. This famous proverb is not difficult to understand, for we all know about the human tendency to say things without committing to follow-ups, simply because following ups takes a lot of responsibilities and labor. Sometimes people say one thing, but what they do is entirely different for the same reason. God does not have this imperfection. What he says, he does without fail. The Old Testament prophecies told that God had a plan to send the Messiah for salvation. God did send the Messiah to fulfill all his promises. God's word has integrity and is trustworthy. The problem is that not all Christians have complete trust in the Bible, not to mention non-believers. Not every Christian believes 100% of what is in the Bible. This morning, we will reflect upon the advent of God's word and the indwelling of Christ in our personal lives. The Gallup, a research firm, researched how Christians view and believe the Bible. The following are quotes from Gallup.com. A record low 20% of the American public now say the Bible is the literal word of God. Only 20%. Down from 24% the last time the question was asked in 2017. And half of what it was at its high point in 1980 and 1984. So, you know, about like 40 years, the Bible believers in American public has been reduced to half. What a drastic decrease. Meanwhile, a new high of 29% say the Bible is a collection of fables, legend, history, and moral precepts recorded by man. This marks the first time significantly more Americans have viewed the Bible as not divinely inspired than as the literal word of God. So what is this percentage who believe that the Bible is not divinely inspired? 49%. Which is the largest group, in my opinion, this is the largest percentage in the American history. How about just among the Christians? The majority of Christians, that is 58%, say the Bible is the inspired word of God, that's nice, but not everything in it is to be taken literally. While 25% say it should be interpreted literally, and 16% say it is an ancient book of fables. More specifically, 30% of Protestants, that's us, say that the Bible is literally true. 30%. What happened to the 70%? compared with the 15% of Catholics. Almost two-thirds of Catholics choose the alternative that the Bible is the inspired word of God, but every word should not be taken literally. And I guess Catholics are more liberal than us Protestants in this regard. I am saddened by three facts: the surprisingly low percentage of Bible believers, the downtrend of Bible believers, and the decline of Christianity that accompanies it. I mean, this is not surprising. You know, there's less people who believe in the Bible. The church is decreasing at the same time. There's no reason for them to come to church if they don't believe in the Bible. Simple as that. If the Bible is partially true, it simply loses its value in containing the truth and cannot serve as the foundation for the Christian faith. Is the Bible what the majority think it is? Absolutely not. The majority of people may choose to walk on the wide path of abandoning the Bible and its teachings, but a few remnants of the Bible believers still be found on the narrow path. Not an iota of the Bible will be changed, and the Bible will continue to show those who believe the way, teach them the truth, and lead them to life until the end of time. Despite many dismissing the Old Testament as a collection of legend or fairy tale, Tovia Luskin believed in what was written in the Old Testament, pondered on geological word in it, and found oil wells in Israel according to the biblical descriptions. Luskin was born in the former Soviet Union and studied geology before immigrating to Canada, which had a large energy industry. From there, he moved to Australia and worked for an oil company. He used to be a secular Jew but became religious after he came to Australia. He was reading Deuteronomy 33, in which Moses blessed the 12 tribes before he died. You know, chapter 34 is the last part of the Deuteronomy. So chapter 33 is the blessings of Moses upon 12 tribes, and then chapter 34, Moses died, right? Moses blessed the 12 tribes before he died and before Israel entered Canaan. Luskin's eyes were fastened to Moses' blessing to the tribe of Joseph. Unlike Moses' blessing to other tribes, Moses began to bless the tribe of Joseph by saying, "May the Lord bless his land," in Deuteronomy 33:13. And in the verse 15, Moses said, "With the choicest gift of the ancient mountains and the fruitfulness of everlasting hills." What would be the choicest gift of the ancient mountain? I mean, what do they get out of the mountain, right? I mean, they cannot farm up there, nor they have a lot of trees as the topography of the Israel is. Hardly any trees on top of the mountains. Fruitfulness of everlasting hills. This is not exactly easy to understand. But he saw the geological terms. The geological terms in the verse did not escape the eyes of Luskin. While he speculated what the choicest gift from ancient mountain would be, he found a hypothesis in the commentary of Rashi, a medieval Jewish sage, that the ancient mountains supposed that there were hills before the present landscape. I mean, Moses saw the ancient mountains, I'm sure, right? But he did not know the mountain he saw was not the exact the shape in all the times. There were another type of landscape, and then ancient mountain was formed after that. This convinced him of how the land of Joseph was formed in the ancient times, and that the choicest gift would mean an underground oil reserve. He soon moved to Israel and founded a company called the Givat Olam, meaning everlasting hills, from that verse, to drill in northern Israel. The land belonged to the tribe of Joseph. Before Luskin, many believed the potential underground oil in Israel, as Israel is situated in the vicinity of the world's biggest oil productions. Finding underground oil is extremely difficult and costly. It costs millions of dollars. It requires many experts and highly advanced scientific equipment to survey land, and the survey takes a very long time. After careful surveys, many attempted to find oil in southern Israel, but were unsuccessful. However, Luskin began drilling in the north region, mainly on biblical guidance, and found many commercially profitable oil reserve. Luskin is now regarded as the father of oil production in Israel. Many people think that the Bible is ancient and is no longer applicable today. But Luskin proved that it speaks unchanging truth that transcend time. The ancient word is not dead, but alive. It speaks the truth that lasts forever. The word of God is materialized in our lives. It has the power to change you and me. John's gospel had a deeper understanding of the word of God and says that Jesus is the word of God. Jesus was the Word of God and was with God from the beginning and co-created the universe. That Word of God came down to dwell with us on Christmas. Therefore, Jesus is the physical manifestation of the Word of God. This part of John's Gospel can be challenging to understand, but think of the following. The four Gospels in the New Testament testify that Jesus had perfect knowledge of the Old Testament and lived to fulfill all the prophecies. Jesus was in complete agreement with the Old Testament and authenticated that the Old Testament was written all about him. There are no discrepancies between what the Old Testament said and what Jesus did and taught in the New Testament. The Old Testament and New Testament agree on all aspects that we do not see them as separate books. All in all, the Old Testament, the New Testament, and Jesus are in agreement with each other. Therefore, the entire Bible is the book of Jesus. People meet Jesus personally through the Bible. The presence of Jesus in the believer's heart becomes so real through the Bible, and Jesus speaks to people individually through the Bible. Jesus is the manifestation of God's Word. How the world views the Word of God today is not much different from when Jesus came on Christmas. John's Gospel says, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world knew him not. He came to his own home, but his own people received him not. The Gallup research shows it. According to John's gospel, disbelief in the word of God means disbelief in Jesus. Our partial belief in the word of God means our partial belief in Jesus. In other words, if we believe in Jesus 100%, we should believe in the Bible 100%. For there is no separation between Jesus and the Bible. The Word of God became flesh and dwelt on this earth. Jesus now dwells within us through the Bible and speaks to our hearts. I still vividly remember the Word of God that touched my heart so profoundly and subsequently led to the call into ministry during my spiritual formation as a teenager. God spoke to me through the verse in Isaiah 43:1. Fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Yes, amen to you too, because that's what God says to each and every one of us. The verse rang in my heart and moved me profoundly, not just for a few months, but for a few years. It was the voice of Jesus to me. I heard him speaking so tenderly with life-altering message about who I was and the purpose of my life. Well, problem was I struggled with that calling for the following several years. Jesus is the embodiment of God's word, through which Jesus becomes alive in our personal lives, and we experience his indwelling presence and hear him speak the voice of love to us. Amen. Let us now turn to page 13 and prepare ourselves to come to the table of God's mercy. The Lord be with you. Lift up your heart. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ of offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your Holy Church. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Whenever we come and partake in the communion, which Jesus initiated, established with his own body, we remember the broken body of Christ on that rugged cross for our salvation. As we partake in drinking from the cup that Jesus prepared, we remember the blood of Christ Jesus shed for the forgiveness of our sins. So now let us, with thanksgiving, take the body and drink from the blood of Jesus. May we pray. Lord Jesus, as we participate in this communion, may we always remember what you did in Calvary and give you thanks in every circumstance so that rain will shine, we may continue on with praise and thanksgiving because we know that you are with us and you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now for our presentation, for tithes and offerings.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures ye below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power of lives. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
During this Advent season, O Lord, we are grateful for your coming down to this humble earth to be with us, to love us, to die for our sin and give us salvation. You have made us who we are and what we are today, and we give you glory and thanksgiving. As we give this offering unto you, O Lord, we pray that you will receive it, bless it, that the ministry, your ministry on this earth may continue, that we may be participants to build your kingdom in the world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Because he lives.
God sent his Son, they call him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance, this child can face uncertain days because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross a river, I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he reigns. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are the living God. You are the living Word of God. You speak to us always through the Bible. May we continue to listen to your voice
and be assured of your presence in our life and continue on serving you, serving your church, and serving your people with the assurance of your presence in our lives.
Yes, Lord.
So therefore, Lord Jesus, send us forth in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Here we go.
Oh, now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day. Oh, now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. God now guide you in all you do. God now in love and show you believe. Reach out to others so all the world can see. God will be there, watching from above. Oh, now in peace, in faith, and in love. Amen. Amen. Amen.